stores. And one of the deputies will have an on that is a good price. It puts over to give out free bins, which is 8,000 house orders. You're talking about a cost of about £39,000. And again, we don't really have a budget for that. However, what you find is that it's cheaper to put the food waste into the brown bin than the black bin. And what's on is just a few figures actually on that. And really what you have is if you can get 1 ton of food waste from the black into your brown, that's about £60 saving. So to make a £40,000 saving, you need to get 666 tons worth to cover the cost of these bins going out. And what that works out to be about 222 kilograms per household, which equates to about 4.3 kilograms per week food waste. So certainly when you get that out and put it across, that will cover the cost. The RAP report would say that in general with food waste, that most households would produce about 5.6 kilograms. So just by getting the food waste moved from the black bin into the brown bin would actually help cover that cost. And really, the recommendation would be that to say, as a one-off project, that we should do that to allow people to get a brown bin and help on resettlement. So on one hand, it will help on the disposal costs of that, and the other one would help us to ensure that help improve our resettlement.
Thank you very much. I know Commissioner Robbie, if you want to speak to that, with the three committee members, there's been three committee members that also have to speak, so I'm going to allow them to speak first.
Okay.
I will allow you to speak next. And I think it's Commissioner Andrews, yourself first.
Thanks very much, Chair. And first of all, I'd like to place on record a heartfelt appreciation to the staff that worked tirelessly to get the role of themselves into the rural communities. And all, and doing well from the paper. A lot of us in the chamber have been contacted by constituents in urban areas that have been issued with residents when the original rollout took place, and I say a lot of those concerns were passed on to the officers. And as I say, we are all aware of the responsibilities that have been placed on the council, and ultimately due to the repair by the legislation. And I just want to say that I would be supporting the paper that the rollout to the urban areas should commence as per recommendation. So I just give a lot of support of the paper.
Thank you.
A lot of people choose not to take up a brown bin in their urban area because they didn't have any grass land to build, whether it was a flat or whether they lived in a house with a field garden. They seem to like it, but I don't ask them in there about it. So, how is it that the people who are doing it and the people who are doing it are going to be trying to do it?
How does it get you?
Sure, what you actually find in the rural areas that most people would have seen the drop at the bottom of the garden and the water else now. Yeah. If we'd given the bigger bin out, it would have actually increased the cost to do that. And really, the whole scheme was to look at the food waste. And I have just been where you were in the season, and it's still early days, but we compare ourselves to May 16, May 17, and there's actually been an increase in the brown bins by 105 tons. And the other one, the main one too, is that there's been a reduction of about the same in the black bin. So it's good to see that the public out there are starting to use the brown bins for the food waste.
Well, thank you very much for letting me in. It is one I'm hoping about when I'm looking good. In the brown bin came the fact that the food waste, because if you're back then, you'll not be doing like monthly cycles from now on into the side of the water. But there's some areas in the town, I was mentioning commonly earlier, where unfortunately you have to put the bins at the front of the house because the property allows them to take them to the front door and let the drive them through the house. So special circumstances are there to help make what people do about that problem. I want to stop the state and there isn't that sort of problem.
Thank you, Austin.
Definitely, thankfully, there aren't too many cases within the district that are like that, but it is a Saturday where you do help around events, and Thursday is sworn 140 maybe any help in that particular case.
Councillor Walker.
Thank you very much, Chair, for letting me in. Not only this committee, I welcome and have to welcome this paper because I'm sure all the councillors have seen and getting brief in relation to it. I'd asked for this item to be placed on the agenda, so it did. Sent an email in asking for it because the initial problem was that in the urban areas, as Councillor Bunce said a number of years ago, people were saving the old legacy council of Brown Mummy by not taking a brown in because they didn't have any grass areas. So what was the point of having it in sitting about, you know, when they didn't need it? The problem arose whenever the new bins were being rolled out in the rural areas, and people then been told that you can't put your food waste into your black bin, you must use your brown bin. People were starting to phone council up, asking for the brown bins, who never had them previously in the urban areas, and they were told that they would have to pay for it. That was my concern, that these people are going to have to pay for the bin if they want it. That's why I asked for an item to be placed on the agenda, and I'm glad to see that the recommendation here that we run with it. I welcome the fact where our officer here, Mr. Parks, has said that, you know, it will be paid for itself. But initially, if money is going to be needed, this is a worthwhile scheme that's been rolled out. It has to be done, because if you don't put your food waste in a brown bin, your black bin won't be lifted. It's as simple as that there. So could money not even be taken out of reserves if it was needed to get this up and running ASAP? Because it's going to come to a stage in the next few weeks that people that haven't got them yet, when they do put their black bin out, they'll be told we're not lifting that. So hopefully it won't take too long to get the rules out, and hopefully through the press, that the press hit one. Anybody that hasn't got one yet, if they contact the council through the switchboard and register to say that they need one, they'll then get one delivered to them. But thank you for letting me in, and I welcome the paper.
Hello, Joe.
Chair, we're trying to make this work and again to cover the disposal cost of $39,000. I didn't put in any real delivery charges or costs on that. And really what I was trying to do was that if somebody's passing a regular 140 bin, they can come to Green Bank. Again, they'd have to register, go to Green Bank or Spanker Road and get the bin. And then ideally what I want to try and do is just strip those brown bins out using the staff behalf, so I'm not bringing in extra costs that can carry out. So I'm just concerned that it's a lot of people wanting brown bins. And I say we do, but we have, as people around, we have got that list of people that we're aware of wanting that. So I say, hopefully, with the 3,000 bins that you cover it, again, yeah, you need to just be aware that sometimes giving a free bin can be dangerous to the fact that you don't put a work on a bin, you know, because what can happen is that you get 9 people, they have it, an old bin on one of you, one and then they come in for it. So again, those are the types of checks that we need to do. And again, there are say that there's times in this district that there's bonfires and things like that, and the people get 3 bins, well then the next thing is they'll not worry about them and won't bring them in and that type of stuff. So that's why I think it's important to do this, but we do it as a project and we'll have a cut-off date. Mm-hmm. And certainly what we can do over the next few months is keep these up to date on how it's going. You know, if there are any difficulties, we can come back to the committee and make these aware of it. But I would say that hopefully what we can do is do the 3,000 bins. It would be our intention to start rolling them out and do it three now at the end of the year until we get that sorted out. Sure.
Thank you
very much.
Okay, thanks for talking.
No, Chair, just obviously agree with the proposal. I think it's important that all householders have the opportunity to embrace recycling their food waste. I suppose it's a quality issue. You know, a number of your parents did contact me in regards to it. I'm not going into the reasons why we didn't take the bin, of course, just But I think it's the message has to go out that householders need to recycle and manage their blue bins and their brown bins correctly. They need to maximise the use. Because I just find that some areas, they're not recycled, and there has to be an education programme in regards to that they have to now start recycling, or they won't have the capacity in the back lines. Because obviously, as Charlie touched on it, as we roll out the brown bin collection and get the buy-in of the community into the recycling, then we've been moving to the 3-weekly black bin collection. And if people aren't managing their brown bins correctly and their blue bins correctly, they will have problems with their black bin. And I think there has to be an education program rolled out. I'm conscious online there is some information, but I think we need to go further than that. I'm sure the officers have plans to do that. But if we can also, when we're doing that education program, sort of speak to the householders in regards, speak to the householders in regards to how they manage the ground, because I get the complaints of their owners and of their flies and bins and an increase in smells. So there is a, using the disposable bags, recyclable bags in the counties is one way to eliminate that. Also use newspaper, also use glass and vegetation in the mirror of the bin. But that needs to explain to people before people are put off. Because already on social media, people are sort of condemning the brown bins, the roll out of the brown bins and the cause of smells. And we're going to the website out in the area. This happened, I don't know what happened here at the minute. So I just think we need to be conscious of this. We need to buy into the public and what we're trying to achieve here.
Can I start the topic? Yes, sorry. This is Joe. Can you tell me what you're doing? Sure, that's basically there's about 3,000 bins that would be left.
How much
waste
do you
reckon is in
the
front, in
the black
end section,
or
in the brown end?
Have you
been
able to
swing
down and
how much happened in the green end area? Because what really what happened was it was actually in both the rural areas and down in the rural areas, and you're in more than they didn't have the brown end. But really, what we're saying is that to make the 40,000 pound saving to cover this project, we would have to have 660 tons of food waste moved from the black to the brown. So the one ton would be about a 60 pound saving. And really, that would mean that each of those households would be 222 kilograms of food waste would need to be required to pay for that, which really equates to about 4.3 kilograms per week. Now, the RAF studies have shown that the food waste, if you move it from, you can take it out of the black bin into the brown bin, that would be 5.8 kilograms per week. So that would show that we should be able to cover those costs. And that's only working on the 3,000 bin. If you think of where that message has got across the whole district, we are then starting to get into the fact of food waste being moved from the black bin to the brown bin. And as I was saying there in May, we found that the green bin waste from May 16 to May 17, they had increased by 5 tons. And also the domestic waste had also came down. Because again, that's something about the brown bin. If it's garden waste coming in good weather, that type of stuff. So you really need to see it working on both ends to show that it's happening. So I say it is very good to see. So it does seem as if that quite a lot of the households there are starting to use that service, and certainly it'll help things in relation to recycling and disposal costs in general. That was just basically confirmed May 2016 to May 2017. What you found was it. In May 2016, there was no brown bins in the rural area. So, compared to May 2017, and what has happened is that there's an increase in tonnage there of about 105 tons for that month. And also during that month, in the black bin, that has dropped by about the same and that would then give the indication that people are now putting their food, the food waste that was going in the black bin, it has now moved into the brown bin, and therefore there should be savings because of the price varies. And that also helps to improve. So there's two benefits to it. It helps to improve our recycling rate, we're sitting at 40%, and the big target for us is at 50% by 2020, which is good. I must say it also helps in cold waste process or disposal. It's cheaper to do the brine than the black, or cheaper to process brine than the black.
Just before we go any further, I've just been reminded myself, the meetings are recorded, so I'd greatly appreciate it if we did try and make sure our mics were on before we did speak. And it's not saying, I know there's a few, but there was a couple of issues there with the mics, but if we can just try and keep that in mind. Thanks for coming.
Yes, because I hope
we're
not going to lose any mics again, but it's just in relation to bins that, you know, which I just was thinking about Tinker and said, you know, he's on a large housing state, and he was only one of them that didn't get a bin for whatever reason. And he contacted me, and I called and spoke to Peter a number of weeks ago. So would they, would he be still on that list, or should I put it through again?
Sure, we actually have that list. So we worked it in a week, so 1,600 people on that list.
Yeah.
That would be the real when things get hot, right? Post street, so then people then start the process of putting those brands in. So those people would get the 140 brand in. We get some cabbage and look at
that. And that's right, it's just because I'm always there though with somebody who didn't want them at the start, and that's why I have nothing there to do, but it's just what you would think out of me.
We don't really maybe want to get into it, because there's a whole thing there that maybe people did get bins, and then because it wasn't from culture and they got bins while they used them, and people lose houses and all that, and all that kind of stuff. And some people don't get into it. So basically, what we say when you mention the two is old empty. You do find people who have made the brown instead of being there, they've got the brown bin with them, and there's two, the two out. We have the benefit, it's only the one benefit can be for us.
And just the second, it's a bit separate of two of them, so I just want to bring it in here. And I'll go on issue, maybe speak to Peter about as well, and Barcroft. It's just a very cheap mark on the brain, and I always need to transport NI, etc., over the years. But what I suggested was there's many sided events with that, that's just because a car is parked there. It could be somebody who doesn't know that the bin might come in if they're not, you know, delivered or whatever. But it is an ongoing problem because the bins have been on it for a few days, particularly in the ground bins are there. Is there any possibility that, because it has happened on occasion, the smaller issues fall up the street, so that it just keeps things going? Because that seems to be the only thing that goes to help.
Sure, on that particular one, it costs more to actually service that smaller lorry than say a larger lorry. You know, any sort of things like we put in smaller lorries. And the example we give is the one with small backpacks is in around about 60,000 to 70,000 pounds, as the larger bin lorry is about 140, so it's half the price. But the larger lorry can only do a 10-ton payload, and that smaller lorry can only do 2-ton. So the simple miles on the divide. Use the smaller lorry, you have to ship more and it's inefficient. So it's important that we try and do that. And that's why it's so important to try and stay away from the smaller lorries because it costs more. But there is this typically across the district with just parked cars. And then I'm just trying to get the message out there to people, look, can you make sure that you don't park your car in awkward spots? You'll think, they'll always think about cars, but they really won't think of large lorries. So I'm just trying to get the message out to householders there to say, look, can you please ensure that you're careful where you park your car at one point in service? And the other point, I would just like to make sure, if the bin lorry can't get in there, a fire engine is about the same size. So when we get upset over the whole idea of not getting it in, nothing. Imagine where a car blocking the street where it's important things that emergency service can get it. So I say we do try and work with people put together to not take stuff, and we will do our best to try and do that. But I just don't have the capacity at the moment to put in the smaller lorries. If I do start going down that road, it's going to cost more for disposal.
Yeah, but just to check now, I know because I know that we're planning then for probably not before me would have tried to get this sorted. We've met with transport and I they can't see anything disappear in the street. The possibility is not always high shoulders that are got there either, you know, that's the other side of it. But just rather than then right having to be maybe twice a week to do it, so that might be an option. So the guy that I'm happy that you can do a meet with some of the residents of that store, and I'll let him get the game on that one. Thanks, Joe.
Just last thing on 11 Garth, and I think it was really, I'm through the item there, great depth, so of yourself.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just to draw to your attention, there is a seminar, a free seminar tomorrow morning in Hilton Temple Patrick, it's sort of nice back and off. And it's just to, I mean, we haven't had a council meeting for approval, it doesn't. I mean, I would plan to go to that, but say it's free. It's just about approval, obviously, to get some expenses to go to Temple Patrick. So I just wondered if it interest anyone else, even not 21 members or anyone else, might be useful. I understand it might be maybe an officer goal, I'm not sure.
I think, Chairman, I'm happy that, you know, if you do it on the suit of allegations, that's that will be good, you know, members on the table.
Chairman,
I'm
going to
raise
answer.
So it's kind of both of them stacking. So if anyone does wish to attend that event, excellent teaching, if you could, or if anyone is on that, anyone could make it part of the people to any other members here. Thank you very much. Maybe it was an excess of discussion of that topic with Brian Brennan, but there has been a proposal by Harry Andrews, and it's seconded by Councillor Burns, that we approve the officer recommendations on item number 12, which is the report on the Brown Bins in urban areas. And then if we can go back then to the actual suggestions, we will then come back to the regulatory and technical service business plan, which is item number 5, and if I can pass over to Tom.
Thank you, Chair. Under the business plan, the committee is a 16-page document. There's quite a lot of detail about the department. Introduction just tells you about the department and personal values, and then onto the section 4, the challenges and opportunities facing us. Section 5, the alignment with the corporate plan. Very important what we're doing is in the corporate plan and how we align to the corporate plan. But I guess the more interesting cover the report something from section 6. Talk about key actions, and that lays out what this department or this directorate intends to do over the coming 12 months in some detail, firstly with a series of bullet points there in section 6, and then moving on to section 7. It's presented by way of a table, which is a table we've intended to use as a reporting tool. So every quarter we would use that table in section 7 and come back to you. It sets out the actual objectives, it sets out who. Which of the senior officers owns them, and it says that the target that we're trying to meet. And then on the extreme right hand side, you'll see the one columns, and they're quarterly columns, and we would intend to use a traffic light system. So every quarter that we return to you, and in those columns, it would be either green, amber, or red, indicating, you know, where the project is. And it'll say they a quarterly reporting. So the report then finishes off just giving the current structure, the departmental structure, and you can see all the very close and heads of service in there, and finally the budget and the committee members. So it's a pretty comprehensive report laying out what this director intends to do over the coming year. And we would like you to adopt that and accept that, or alternatively tell us who wants to do different things or not do some of the stuff in whatever, and we'll take your direction on it.
Proposed by Councillor Cray and seconded by Councillor Burns. All the group. If we could move then on to item number 6, 7 and 8, and if Anthony, if you'd like to take the 3 items there.
Sure, I'll maybe take you through items 6 and 7. I think I've been dealt with by another officer. In terms of the performance report, our write-up, you see that in table 1, our write-up applications over the last couple of months is thankfully coming back down again towards the 1,000 mark of write-up applications. And at this stage in June, we're actually very close to dipping back under 1,000 live applications again. The other sort of significant points that are really in table 4, decisions issued per month, you'll see a steady increase in numbers of decisions going out, each month, last month we issued 174 decisions, so we would expect to surpass that this month. In table 5, the cumulative numbers of decisions issued, so by the end of May in this financial year, we're close to issuing 300 decisions. 90% of them are approvals, 10% refusals, and that's really a telling figure, which really isn't reflected in the monthly committee meetings, because there tends to be skewed in terms of recommendations for refusal coming to committee, but in fact, you can see from those that in the month of May, we only refused 12 applications and approved 266. Other than that, there's nothing of any real, nothing else of any real significance to report. We're happy to take any questions that members might have.
Any questions, members? We're happy then, we can move on then to item number 8, which is the report with regard to the plan of performance management network framework, which is happening within this item.
Okay, you note some documentation that the Department of Infrastructure is currently consulting on the planning performance management framework. This framework is attachment number 4 and is basically being developed as a way to drive improvements and to provide more efficient and effective planning service across local government. The Council has adopted a response to the consultation with the deadline in page 1, whereby we generally welcome the proposed framework. But we also take the opportunity to highlight some issues that the Department for Infrastructure may wish to consider further. Firstly, the framework does not make reference to the general duty of improvement which is outlined in the Local Government Act 2014. This act gives us the corporate responsibility and councils to secure continuous improvement and the exercise of functions. Already, many councils are progressing their corporate approach to performance management, so it should follow the dynamic performance management arrangements for individual services or aligned accordingly to the corporate approach and the existing statutory requirements. Following on from this, the council has suggested improved coordination between the departments for community and infrastructure, and that the proposed performance working group for planning works closely with the existing local government performance work improvement working group, so that we can develop a more consistent and coherent approach to performance improvement across the sector. And secondly, while the council believes that the proposed planning performance indicators will provide valuable and useful information, there will be resource implications for local governments in terms of data creation, analysis and review. And the number of performance indicators are set to increase, and the introduction of performance indicator 16 around planning outcomes involves the creation of data that isn't routinely collected at the minute. It also remains unclear whether the current portal or the replacement planning portal, which is due to come in 2019, will have the IT infrastructure and the ability to support the creation and input of this data, and therefore by default the overall framework. So these are just some of the issues that we have highlighted in the consultation response, which you have in your documentation for consideration.
Thank you very much. I have a proposer and seconder. Proposed by Councillor Allen. Seconded by Councillor Curran. And no, everyone in agreement? No other queries? Everyone in agreement? If we can then move on to item number 9, which is the report regarding the impact of the Brickman Bloom, and if I can pass over to Gavin.
Yes, Chair, as you say, we've been entered into Newcastle has been entered into Britain and Bloom for the second year in a row under the category of small coastal town. Last year was our first year, and we received the second highest award of Silver Gilt. Now, we're to be judged again this year. The judges are due to call with us on Friday the 4th of August, which is just the beginning of the Festival of Lights. So it kind of works out well for us this year, because last year it was after the Festival of Lights, and there's a lot of work to be done to get the town ready for after the Festival of Lights. So this is, timing wise, this couldn't be better for us, I suppose. Now, in terms of competition, we're judged on three elements: horticultural achievement, so how well the town looks in terms of its planting, how environmentally responsible we are in achieving that, and also community participation. So it's not just about what the council does, but is there engagement within the with the council and businesses and other people within the town to make the town as look as well as it possibly can do. So our aim this year, obviously, is to take that step forward and achieve the gold. And if we achieve the gold, then we possibly could be a category winner. The area that we need to focus on, we had feedback last year, and we scored gold in our horticultural achievement and in our environmental responsibility. We scored silver in community participation. So what they were saying to us is, yes, we can see some evidence of work within the local community with the council and other groups, but we need to see a bit more evidence of that. Now, we've been working with two groups over the past while in Newcastle. One of them is called the Art Community. It's a Christian-based group on the Castle Welland Road out of Newcastle. It does great work with quite a number of disadvantaged groups within Newcastle and with other groups as well. But in terms of its resources, its funding is limited. It doesn't apply for funding from the lottery, because some of the groups that it works with are people who would have gambling addictions, and they would see that they wouldn't apply for that type of funding because on the other end they're working with people who are dealing with gambling problems. So they have a limited budget, and we try to help as best we can. The other group that we've been working with is Autism NI. The committee may also be aware that recently Newcastle has been designated as an autism-friendly town. They have a significant presence within Newcastle, and a number of people with autism live within sheltered accommodation that they have. And one of the sites that they have is beside our Island Park. And they have a large garden at the back, and they've done a lot of work with it over the years. And their big idea was to turn it into a vegetable garden, which they did. But it was hoped that the people who have autism would be able to manage that in some way. But there's too much work with it, and it has kind of fallen back. And we've met with them and discussed what possibly could be done. We've brought our experts from our grounds maintenance. And the conclusion was that the best idea for this type of garden was to turn it into a type of sensory garden, herb garden, where, you know, there would be odours and smells that would be attractive to people who live with autism. Now, the purpose of the report is just to let you know about that, but also is to seek your approval, because we want to give some, apart from giving advice, we want to give them some practical help as well. In terms of our community, we have surplus items within our grounds maintenance that we can provide to them. So, for instance, we have got surplus metal hanging baskets which we no longer use, and we could give them a supply of around 10 of those. We are putting our bedding plants at the moment. It's likely we'll have a surplus of bedding plants, and we can give a supply of the bedding plants to our community as well. And we also have, where we have play parks, and we've taken out the old rubber mats and placed what we call wet pour. So we have old mats that we could use, which they could use in their polytunnels to put on the ground so people can walk on those. In terms of the Autism NI premises, the biggest help that we can currently give them, they tell us, is that they really need to get a start on the garden. And the best help that we can give them is to put staff on the ground who can actually take out what's there and give them a blank canvas that they can start to work from. So what we're suggesting here is that you permit us to send a squad of four of our men there on a Saturday, and we will cover that within our own budget, and they'll be paid to work on that particular site for one day to get the site to a state where it can then be planned out by the group itself. Sure.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and the fact that there was welcome up, because I travelled last year for that, about the Silver Award, but it's not just even about getting that award, it's actually what they're going to do with the different communities there. I was actually going to the art community and the work that we did, Kevin had taken me on a visit last year. So, you know, there's a lot of work going on there, and it will be very good. And the fact that I'm bringing in with the autism in line would just be absolutely fantastic. And it was enhancing the awareness of autism, and the fact that Newcastle has got that status would really, really work well for the council. So, well done.
President Clark.
Thanks, Chair. I agree with the previous speaker. I'm very afraid of working the art group, so it's working in the deprived areas of Newcastle, sitting on Castle on the road, where they got involved in developing planters, also getting people to work in the art community gardens. Autism NI, initiatives NI as well, again, very, very supportive of all the work that's been done in regards to autism initiatives in Newcastle. Appreciate and welcome the cooperation of the council working with our partners and trying to improve both the capacity of volunteer groups, but also to improve the image of Newcastle. As we move forward, and I see a lot of work. There's a lot of work that's done in regards to the bed and plants in the town centre, but we have to ensure we don't take our eye off the perimeter of the town and take it up the next of the aisle. Where there's been, in my opinion, a reduction in the glass button, where the harbour area has become very unsightly, particularly Goldie Hill in the Black Rock area. So it's important when we're doing this. That we don't forget areas also in Newcastle. And also the back thing at the Bondale Estate. It's like Sandy School at the minute, and that's an important aspect of community as well. That's one of the areas of disadvantage, and it's important that the areas are kept, our football pickup areas are kept in a reasonable standard. And I'm very supportive of this project. So, did you propose?
Yes. Kevin, do you have any other questions? That would be set over.
That's been proposed by Councillor Stampick and seconded by Councillor Clark, and that is item number 9, which was regarding the Lifting Bloom in Newcastle. If we can then move on to item number 10, which is the report regarding the Atlantic boat in Dundrum Bay.
Sure, this boat has been in Dundrum Bay for some years. I can't tell you how many, but it's been there for quite a while. The council has ownership rights and lease in Dundrum Bay, and therefore we have authority to do different things. There has been attempts to trace the owner of the boat and over the years, and this has not provided any evidence, or we haven't been able to trace the owner to get them to take action in relation to the boat. There's been some recent concern over its condition, that it's deteriorating further. The longer it stays there, the worse it will get. Concern perhaps that it could break up, and then there's potential then for pollution of the bay from that. But also there's also been recent concern in relation to young people perhaps swimming out towards the boat, and the health and safety risk that that may cause. So we've met recently with the NIEA, because if the council decided to take action in relation to this, there would be a number of things that we would need to achieve. We'd need a marine license, and there would be a process to go through, and we would need to consult with the NIEA along that way. But the consensus of the meeting with the NIEA was that really the first step that we as a council should do is to have the boat assessed by someone who is competent to do so such as a marine engineer, and let them make an assessment about whether the boat in its current condition poses either environmental risk or indeed a health and safety risk. And then what we would intend doing is bringing that information back to the committee with any recommendations that may fall from that, either to leave the boat as is, or indeed to take the second option of starting the process whereby the council would arrange for the removal of the boat from Dundun Bray. So the purpose of the report is to bring it to your attention and just to seek your approval that we would now go ahead and appoint a marine engineer to carry out that assessment.
It's my understanding that it was agreed that we would seek to remove the boat. That was taken out SPNR. It was taken, and there was a number of discussions in regards to it. And there's also there was a competent contractor involved in salvage who has produced a report also, and I think it's been forwarded to the council. This is a person who that's their job, they're involved in marine salvage. So I'm not sure what another report is going to do. The boat is clearly breaking up, and I think it's just wasting £1,000. I think we should have been out seeking places to remove the vessel and see if the council does it.
Sure, I'm not aware of any recommendation from SPNR. Now, we are in consultation with our own staff within the legal services, and they're fully aware that we're taking this report to the committee on that basis. I am aware that we have had an approach from someone who has advised that they are experts in this field and that they feel that it does need to be removed. But they have a vested interest because they're offering to actually carry out the work. The purpose of appointing an independent engineer is that they will have no interest in the contract in terms of having it removed or not having it removed, and therefore they, I believe, will be able to provide us with the independent advice that we really need before taking that decision. NIA, in the conversation with them, they're not coming down one way or the other. They would advise us that this is not a unique situation. Right around the coast, you will find that there are boats which have been sunk or abandoned or whatever. And it's not just because something has been abandoned. There is not an automatic, it has to be removed from the water. The purpose of this report will help us, put us in a better position to make that decision whether we need to do anything or not.
Again, the pictures that I showed that the vessel was breaking up. And fair enough, I don't disagree, but the person who provided that report, that came in the back of contact with another department of council when they were asked to produce the report and send it in the council. And I'm not saying that person will get the contract. What would happen would be you'd go to expressions of interest for people to go and undertake the salvage operation, and that would be a normal that procurement process. The official work said is that we're in the boat, and you've seen them pass up those plans, which isn't a proposal to say. So,
yes, there is a proposal to. To disregard this recommendation, but to go forward with seeking to remove the vessel and the hazardous staff member, and are everyone agree with that?
I don't know whether
that's
I think it would be appropriate to ascertain that the boat needs to be removed. I mean, there will be very significant costs in removing it, but at this point in time, it's not clear that it needs to be removed, because we have no evidence to suggest that the dangers for it will create any contamination. In fact, the NIA told us that they don't have any concerns with contamination. So I would think it's much more appropriate for us to determine does it need to be removed before we commit to removing it. It might cost £1,000, but it could save us many, many more thousands.
Issue. If a child swims out and hurts himself on that vessel, who's liable in regards to it? Or if the vessel, falls, or a piece of it falls, It's not about contamination I'm talking about. I'm talking about health and safety of citizens. There's a danger by tethering and a child is injured. It could also be a bad place.
Sure, if I could just come in. This is not something that will happen overnight. If the council does decide to take the action of having it removed, there is a process that we will need to go through to obtain a marine license. And that's, you're talking about a 4-month period, because there's a whole consultation process to go through where local residents will have an opportunity to make comments to the NIA about the boat, whether it should be removed or not in their view. So I don't think there's anything to stop us from having a two-track process here. I don't believe it'll take us that long to get an independent report provided. It may cost less than that, I don't know. But as Canis has already said, if you just go down the route of you're going to remove it, it's going to cost a lot more than £1,000. Now, the report might come back and identify health and safety risks which can be tackled in a different way from actually removing the boat. We don't know until we get that opinion. But if we're talking about the same contact that has been made with the council, who is advising of the risks and is offering to remove the boat, there surely has to be a conflict there, in that we're getting the advice, but the person's offering to remove it at the same time. This approach provides an independent opinion, someone who has no desire to tender or cost for removal of the boat. Well, they won't. That would be part of the appointment. We wouldn't appoint someone who would then be going to have an interest to remove the boat.
Councillor
Burns.
I just
want
to
know
the
process.
I understand that you try to close the boat. What we're suggesting
is that
the council what we would like to see is the boat removed because of health and safety issues, because it's in Bungalow Bay, which is a tourist area, but for all the multitude of reasons, and we're not looking to get a report by telling something to want to leave the boat. Rather than sit there for another 10 years or not without sinking or without contaminating, is only one of the aspects that concern us. We're concerned is that kids are swimming out to it, and putting liabilities aside, still somebody's parents going to end up burying a child, and if we don't act on it, that's where the main concern of relevance in Newcastle is. So this report, it doesn't really matter what it comes back and tells us for £1,000, we still want the vote to be removed. So that's why I'm saying I understand we sent that on overnight. If there's a 4-month process, why do I have to bring in a report that's going to tell us potentially we'll be able to know, or other case scenario will tell us that we don't need to remove it if we don't want to, but same thing, we'll still be left with this vessel that was sitting, abandoned in the middle of the bay and in the dangers. So for that reason, I think that the proposal stands.
Well, there is a proposal, as like you said, to remove the vessel, and it has been seconded. If there is anything,
I've been very concerned here in the council, taking that concern on board. So, to get the right direction, how we move forward, and I know what they intend on. But to get the right direction here, there'll be a point that main engineer is down there and give us a report back again. I know it's about to find what we make up there, but at the same time, then we know the correct action to take.
Was that a proposal, Councillor Carter?
I have to take the first.
So the first one, which is that we remove the vehicle or the vessel and it has been seconded, are all happy or should be put to a vote?
Okay, we'll put it to a vote.
So a show of hands for those who'd be in favour of the proposal to have the vehicle or the vessel removed.
Sure. Is there a counter proposal?
Not to my knowledge, but there's nothing to propose to that.
There is a counter proposal, which has been seconded yet. Chair, it's not that you check the first proposal first, because the first proposal is approved, then the second proposal. It doesn't matter.
Okay. My name is Sarah. So if the motion falls, it will go back to the officer recommendation. So if we vote to have a vote then on the proposal to remove the vassal, proposed by Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Burns. Those in favour? And those against? Abstentions?
4-7 against 1 abstention, 5. So the proposal is carried.
So the proposal carried. And Kevin, then if that can be arranged. Move on to item number 11, which is a report regarding the Rose Energy Capital Project.
Sure. Sure. In the committee meeting in May of this committee, we considered various issues about Cabrini Cemetery, and it was agreed that we would look at the idea of whether there's a need to create more car parking space within Cabrini Cemetery, because there's councillors had raised issues in relation to parking along that road during times when there's burials taking place at either our own cemetery or the adjoining parish cemetery. But we also discussed sort of infrastructure improvements that would help within the cemetery, and that included providing a compound store for topsoil and waste soil, so that it's not visible within the cemetery when visitors come in. Also, the current paving along the walkways is paving stones, and with the machinery going back and forward, that can crack, or also it can come up and down. So the idea would be to remove that and replace it with concrete paths. The other proposal was providing of some sort of lighting along the roadway within the cemetery itself, and we have had requests from members of the public in relation to providing some sort of seating area within the cemetery itself. Now we were asked to put that through for the capital project last year. One thing or another, it seemed to have been missed off the list, and we've discussed this with our colleagues within the finance department, and we feel that we can find this proposed budget of £30,000 for these works. We can find that within the existing capital budget within our own directorate, and with your approval, that's what we would intend to do, to redirect funds from within the existing capital budget for our directorate and use them for this particular project to carry it out, hopefully within this financial year. Chair, sure, that's just the report.
Obviously, up in Yeston, the cemetery chair is now 15 years old, and there's never really been any work done from it was open. So I'm delighted to see any proposed improvements now being explored. So, can you just confirm that the £30,000 you're looking for is actually to undertake the improvement works that you've outlined and is totally separate through the feasibility study? And furthermore, just to make the committee aware, that the current graveyard chart will be maxed out, I would suggest, at the current rate has been filled up within the next 2 years, so we may well should be forward planning as to where we're going after that. You know, so I'm not sure that could be tied in with any proposed improvements. But if you could just answer me that, Kevin, with the 30,000, that is for improvement works, and if it is, where are we with
the feasibility
study for the
charter? Sure, part of the money from it will be if we do require outside assistance to carry out the feasibility report. When we get into the meat of it, we find out whether we need some external resources, but I would expect that the majority or the most of the 30,000 will be for the infrastructure improvements. I can't envisage spending too much in relation to any feasibility study that's required, but there will be a requirement for something there, perhaps. In relation to the extension to the cemetery, I don't have the figures here. I'm not sure about the 2 years figure. I think we may have more than that, but I can come back to you on that. I think I brought that to a previous report. Now, we do have legacy planning permission for the adjoining field for that particular cemetery. for an extension to it. So I suppose, provided when we consult with our colleagues in planning that that still is existing, we'll be ahead of the game in relation to that. Chair, we had a similar request last year, and it was because of the leaves falling off, and because the adjoining cemetery has the surrounds then, and they're all maintained by the families, then they were fine that they were having to pick the leaves off the graves, whereas within our own cemetery and it's all grassed out, our own grounds maintenance deals that. So I think we looked at that and about removing some of those trees, and the committee, on our advice, decided not to. I think our grounds maintenance crew feel that, you know, that provides a certain vista for the cemetery, and to remove it may detract from it. But as part of these proposed capital works, it's something that we could look at, because the existence of those trees, I suppose, takes up a certain amount of space along that side, which may be better used perhaps, but at the moment there are no plans to do anything with those trees, but it's something that we can consider as part of the capital project.
So from graveyards as well, it's Monk Hill Graveyard. I've been contacted by residents of Monk Hill who are very much aggrieved. They know it's only once a year, one Sunday a year, but they say they're technically held prisoner for 3 hours in their homes. People just come and abandon their cars. The past 2 years in a row now, there has been incidents where an ambulance has had to be called. This year, it got particularly bad, where the person who had a suspected heart attack had to actually be carried to the bottom of Monkton Road to get to the ambulance. People are being blocked in their houses, not being able to get out of the driveway. It's very bad this year. So we're wondering if the council can put some sort of cones or something in place the whole way up the hill to allow free access for ambulances or doctors or that to get in the graveyard.
Sure, the cemetery fund is not actually organised by the council itself. It's the parish that organises that. And I think you're right, councillor. I think that there needs to be a closer link between the parish and ourselves in relation to this particular ceremony, because I have been to it once myself just to see what it was like. And you're right, you know, you are blocked in. But the infrastructure is as it is, and I think you'll probably find throughout the country when Cemetery Sunday's on that anyone living close to a cemetery, there is that issue. But I would agree that there needs to be closer liaison between ourselves and the parish, and if the committee so wishes, then we would make contact with the parish to see if there's things that we can do for next year that might try and alleviate some of the issues that you've discussed, particularly the issue around providing safe access for ambulances as and when they're required during that particular time.
I think everyone's in agreement with that, based on the approach. All in agreement? So we have had the report that has been proposed by Councillor Timmy and seconded by Councillor Spadler, and all are in agreement. And I think the men move on to item number 13, which is the report regarding options for glass recycling. And I think we're bringing Joe back in.
I think all members will be aware that we have different methods of collecting glass across the council since the merger of the two previous central councils. The yearly glass is collected, twice a year glass is collected in blue bins, commingled with the rest of the blue bin content. In down, glass will happen, the blue bin gets collected through the recycling points, and in Valley Ward, a small part of Valley Ward that we took on board, it's collected in a pod or in a tray on top of the bin. So these three different methods of collection, if we want to gain efficiencies through our glass collection method, we need a single method of collecting glass, a single standard method across the piece. in terms of efficiency and saving money, the easiest thing in the world would be to say that everyone has to put their glass into a recycling, go to a recycling centre, hold on to the glass and go to a recycling centre, and that would save us a lot of money, you know, capital-wise, it would be a lot of expenditure, and cost-wise, there would be significant savings from a renegotiated contract. However, that would give significant difficulties. It would be seen as withdrawing a particular service that we offer today, and the service all of being able to just pop your glass into the room. So following a number of discussions, we've come up with a proposal on three options as to how we could continue to offer glass collection service, and that glass collection service would be standard across the whole of the district. The first option would involve buying a significant number of new vehicles that had a glass collection pod at the front of the vehicle, and in your papers there's a picture of that sort of a vehicle. The idea there would be that everyone would have a tray, an inset type tray that would go inside the bin to put the glass into that tray rather than directly in commingled with the rest of the blue bins and stuff. Then on collection day, the guys would lift the tray out, empty it into the front pod of the refuse collection vehicle, and then enter the blue bin into the back of the vehicle as normal. That would mean we continue to collect glass that we collected, not commingled with the rest of the blue bin stuff. There's a table in the paper as well. There's very significant upfront capital costs associated with that option, because we need roughly 14 of those vehicles. Those vehicles are a good 35,000 more expensive than the existing vehicles. So the capital cost would be just under 3 million, would be 2.9 million. With the anticipation of a renegotiated contract without the glass in the blue bin, there would be also significant revenue savings. And we're estimating that revenue saving to be about $366,000 per year. So, in a simple math, there would be an 8-year payback on that capital investment. On the other positives associated with that, if we were to buy 14 new vehicles, they would replace 14 very old vehicles, and therefore not only would we be able to continue the glass collection service more or less as is on a fortnightly basis, but we would dramatically improve our ability to collect black bins, blue bins, and brown bins, because we would very significantly reduce the number of breakdowns in the vehicles. So there are a number of other positives on that. There's also the possibility that we could get some grant money from DEIR. They've given grant money out for this sort of project in the past. Last year they gave Arjun down $850,000. So we can anticipate getting, you know, $900,000 of that capital as a grant. So that's one option that would provide a fortnightly collection for people right across the district. A second option is to, and again the pictures in the papers, to bring in a number of much smaller vehicles, dedicated vehicles. And these vehicles would simply just collect glass and nothing else, so we'd be adding to the routes and the collections that we have already. Again, we would offer people or give people a tray that would sit in any one of the bins. It wouldn't actually matter which bin, they could set it at the top of whatever bin they wanted, just a way in which they would then collect the glass. And then on the appropriate day, and this would be a monthly collection, once a month they would set that tray out on pavement beside whatever bin it happened to be, was, you know, scheduled to be collected. And then this dedicated vehicle would take the glass, and it wouldn't touch the other bin would be collected as normal. If it just, so it's a new brand new service directed just to get glass. To do that, we would need 6 of these smaller vehicles to provide a monthly collection service. So revenue, capital-wise, that's about $750,000, because we may need to buy those vehicles smaller and cheaper than the other vehicles. The downside of that is one is that we would need staff to man those vehicles, so we need 12 staff. And maybe that's the upside, we would employ 12 more people in the district, create 12 new jobs. But the revenue cost of that would almost wipe out the revenue savings of the renegotiated contract. So you would have a £760,000 capital bill. You would save about just over 60,000 a year in revenue, and that's effectively a 12-year payback if you do the simple math on that as well. So that would be a second option. And then the third option that we presented to you, which really kind of dismissed as not acceptable, is that we would revert to the present process in Legacy Down, where we wouldn't allow glass to go into the bin at all, and people would have to go to recycling points and bring their glass to the recycling point, sort of a do-it-yourself collection, as it were. Again, financially, that's the best picture. Financially, it would cost us about $150,000 of capital, and the payback would be $275,000 savings per year. So that would be financially the best, but I accept it would be quite difficult to, it would be seen as a degradation of the service that we're offering.
Thank you.
There is potentially a fourth option which we haven't put in the paper. That fourth option would be to go across the whole district and allow people right across the district to trials in the move-ins. So we adopt in the legacy down area the process that we presently have in the Newry area. We haven't offered that as an option in this paper, and we haven't placed it out for two reasons. One, because collecting the blue bins with glass in is significantly more expensive to process per tonne, so we're very confident it'll be a very expensive one. But more importantly, it also goes contrary to legislation. The European legislation has been transcribed into UK legislation that indicates that we should not collect glass commingled with the other types of blue bin waste, the plastics and paper, etc., because that degrades the quality of the collection. And therefore, while we have done some work and managed to effectively mount the defence for continuing this last 2 years to collect glass and blue bins in Newry, because we always had the intent of dealing with it, if we were then to move to now introduce glass into the bins in Legacy Down, it would be seen to be going completely contrary to that legislation. That would be, in my view, very risky, and therefore as an author I wouldn't be recommending that as an option. That's why there's only these three options in front of you. In terms of the first option, the nearly 3 million capital, if we were to just put that in our capital plan, the likelihood is that it would hit the rates very significantly next year up to perhaps an additional 5%, and the rates are likely to be 2 or 3% anyway, so any more than 8% rate rise, probably not. So the other alternative is to take that capital out of our reserves. We're presently sitting with reserves of over 8 million, and I've talked to Doreen at length and the senior management team and discussed this, and certainly we could take that money out of reserves and not present any risk to the council in terms of its long-term financial management. So there would be an alternative mechanism by which we could fund this that would not hit the rates directly. So those are the options, and I'm very happy to take questions on them.
Mr. Stokes? Yeah, sure. I would argue that, certainly this is one of the most critical decisions that the councillors have been asked to take since taking our seats on this new council. For a reason, certainly it's a long-term decision. It's something we're not likely to change any soon, but it's probably talking maybe 20, 30 years potentially. It's a decision that certainly our successors on this council may have to live with. And from the point of view, it's also important in that for a lot of citizens out there, Chair, the only point of contact that they have with the council is, in fact, refuse collection. That they don't have a lot of interaction with the council otherwise. But potentially, Chair, also spending going to spend a large portion of our ratepayers' money. It's clear, Chair, as well, that the costings in the report are based on various assumptions. From that point of view, Chair, I think it might be prudent to ask that we appoint a third party consultant to come in and provide an independent economic appraisal of not only the three options, but the fourth option, Chair, the fourth option of rolling out the current Marine Warren model across the district, and that consultant would then bring the findings, Chair, back to this committee to make a decision, and I think that will be approved way of the board, Chair, and I'd like to propose that, Chair. Thank you.
Mr.
The figures that have been given, I'm not 100% sure if there was a delay and taken into account the saving that would be made, which was just heard Joe talking about there, the brand bin rate that's coming out as well. So that option is there. Some of the figures that we've looked at, and I do know that some people went on a tour of Regen, and one of the counselors that I've spoken to you about it, they indicate that the down area, Blackburn has 1,900 tonnes of glass disposed of every year, and that's from Blackburn. This last is included in the blue bin, because the district has made some notes on it. Would it save the repairs money? As Blackburn costs of £30 a year to process, would not help us to reach the target of 20, with almost about 1,900. So subset of the brown bin waste that we're now rolled out to 3,000 bins is moving over. That would be in systems as well. Now, to change those vehicles, you know, we spend every year, even in a legacy down council, I'm just concerned that you know, we're buying new vehicles every year, and yet we need to go and buy more vehicles to do something else, and the ones that we currently have may not work, may not be acceptable to be adapted. That's another bit cursed because it will just come roll and continue on. The problems with the black lines that are getting lifted as it is on the ground is that this might be just way too over the budget. I don't feel that people want this. I get the impression that and I know myself, it's convenience that people want nowadays. And they want the ease of it. Not everyone wants to have their bottles left sitting in a pod. And for some people, they may not have enough room in it to incentivize on those pods, and then they're not going to get they're not going to get lifted then. You don't just back into the black bin. I do think that this should be rolled out. I do remember speaking to people on the Down Patrick side, and they were of the opinion that they were going to get the option of the glass get into the blue bin. And if you have that increase of 1,900 tonnes put into the blue bin then, surely then your figures are going up and the figures are increasing here, they're increasing here with the brown bin. Surely to be honest, I know you're going to talk about quality of it. But if you take it on the economic basis, you know what I mean, over time, that would improve. I just can't see that any of this is going to work. I can't see that we're going to spend almost 3 million for a small saving over time. Honest to God, I really just don't understand it. And I just feel that the very care is the person that we have to answer to. It's all very well sitting here and talking this, but I don't think the figures have come back right. We never got the figures to tell us about a good rolled out. And this was put in as fourth option, which no one said legislation, but hello, legislation right now at the minute. And the CEU legislation, the one Democratic vote for that, and even though we didn't get vote for it in Northern Ireland, it certainly we were told out. So we then when the British government might decide that they are going to keep rolling that all out and keep the legislation, and they're not even the government yet. So let's just remember that one as well. I'm going to second this proposal. So
there's been a proposal then for to have an independent consultant make an economic appraisal then of four options and to be seconded. If there's any objections to that, or is everyone in agreement with that? Or?
Chairman. The reason we are here today looking at this hero issue of the drafting into whatever then it was is because the proposal was brought before council quite a number of months ago. It's quite clear from the collective of the elected members and from the public out there that they didn't want to lose the last collection. Simple as that. And we ended up at this proposal here today. This isn't the officials coming here today and talking us here before us. This was discussed with the group. And from what I can gather, all the groupings are we're quite aware of what was coming before today, and also give a heads up that you know they were up for this. The reason they're looking at replacing new vehicles again come from the elected members of the meeting where it was discussed. Because we were seeing continuously the figures for breakdowns for the vehicles that we didn't have and our ability to replace the vehicle here and there every other year, which wasn't updating our fleet in any shape or form that was going to serve us well. And earlier on in the meeting, we heard people complaining about the bin list and the breakdown from the missed bin list, etc. etc. That's on the bin while we have no fleet. And we were also getting triggered that day of how many breakdowns any vehicle with a failure over a certain number of years. And it's worrying. It's not a wonder that we're not getting the bin lifted. But this was a proposal that was, from what I can gather, was agreed by all the leaders present. It's not something we wanted to do, but we didn't want to put the 5 or 6% on the rates next year. We had reserves there, and what we asked was if we had enough reserves that would allow us to use them to buy these new vehicles, put a new fleet in place there, and all the channels that are your own, improve the brown bin, or lift the black bin, lift the blue bin, lift, giving every household in the district a pause up across the whole district, to even part of the district that they have them that are put into the black bin. So it seems like a win-win situation. The only thing we're hearing today is that we do have enough reserves to actually go and purchase the vehicles. And I have to say, my belief is it's the way forward for us at the council. And I wouldn't agree with Gary maybe you're a friend and consultant, then I'd love to talk to this council to tell us what we already know. We have all our reset and figures what we need to reset and what we need to be doing. So we'll be able to do that as well, sure. And I would actually propose a recommendation of option one.
What's the proposal then for the original recommendation, Councillor Kennedy, I think that you then because you want to as well?
Sure, a couple of things. There would be the body of the printer there at the camera strip, which suggests that option four actually is fired. I don't recall ever being sort of presented with the case for and against in relation to what was on in the old legacy downside and the legacy in the right side, because when Joe was able to give us figures there earlier for the broke down to per kilo per house for food waste, we've never been given stuff that states that the way that it has been going down broke down to a kilo per house of recycled goods is a more efficient and a better way to try and reach our targets than is the case in Uri. If we were to go with the option one, I'm assuming there's a time allocated to every single lift in the district, be it 30 seconds or whatever the case may be. There obviously has to be stops for that. So how much time would be added on to the lift? So over a day, I know it's inconsequential when you're talking about a couple of houses, but over a day and over a week is quite substantial. So that would then come in line with Gillian was saying. We have quite a few inefficiencies at the minute. Would this only add to that? If we decide to go with option one, what happens in the interim? Because all of these vehicles have to be ordered and it's a medium term project. On the lorries and sales, sure, they're coming in just under 200 grand. Procurement wise, how many places can be shopping to procure these vehicles? And could you confirm, just go over the pictures as far as you can, but were these new lorries of a similar chassis to the ones that have been used at the moment? And therefore it's just a bespoke body or something. So in other words, could the existing lorries that are fairly up to date, could they be revamped and reutilized to for these new holes at the front to fit on them? And the last thing is the £377,000 for the insert phase. Just give an indication how many households that for, because it looks like something like you buy for a pound on. So again, procurement wise, what are the options? How many places can you buy these? That's very extensive, sure.
Before Charlie was looking for it, I thought that you're shipping the rest of them as well. And David, I do have to apologise, I have an idea that I've been trying to get in there.
Sure, that's what I said. So I continue to have concerns with this. I just don't feel that we're getting full information. It's a matter. I think there's a set of journey here from the moment. With option one, we've got a candy of puzzles, no potential items. And it's really very often the noise overnight. And we have to give enough full information to be able to ask the world. There is quite a bit of opposition to this in most street fairs. You know, I started with the street fair associations on it, but also saw it on social media. And not that that necessarily dictates any decision we make, but it's certainly relevant, you know, because we find ourselves here where potentially we've received quite a bit of money. And we're looking really at the kind of possibility of trying to execute what Cecilia has already referred to. What we've necessarily applying in the next couple of years anyway. So, I just think we need to give them more facts on this. I do feel there's a which is actually here, where people want to be in a certain position, and we're not necessarily getting from the people that are saying, I suggest that we're going to have another maximum of 8. So it's something certainly I would give consideration to as well. But it does seem at the minute that we're not getting the full facts, the full cost and details aren't presented to us for whatever reason. So I certainly think we need to have this evening.
Maybe let me come back in with the recommendations that you've heard.
Well, thank you, Chair. In terms of time to execute an option on transfer Timmy, you were clearing that, was it, I think, basically people in a day to do that sort of thing. I think we're all painfully aware that our black bin boots are quite stretchy and often present difficult. Our blue bin boots, they do not. And it is unfortunate that there's a practice in legacy Newry where the guys finish the rounds at 12 o'clock and go home. They're paid 4 o'clock. In Down, they finish the rounds early, they don't go home. They try to find more work to do, but they don't go home. But in both cases, there is an excess of time that is unused every day and the vehicles aren't used. So if, for example, it takes 1 minute to empty a bin, then it would now take 1 minute 30 or 2 minutes, because you've been in the passport, that would without doubt fit within existing days. And we actually utilize both our vehicles on our staff a lot better. So I personally wouldn't have a concern that that wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. You were asking what would we do in the interim? Yes, it will take minimum 9 months to order and procure vehicles. The paper suggests a target implementation date of April 2018. Fundamentally, that's unlikely to be achievable. So our actual target date would be September, not for the 6 months deadline, September 2018. If we were to go ahead with this and we think that is achievable, we could have the vehicle order in place, routes configured, etc. Procurement, we would just procure as we normally procure. We said we want 2 trucks, 5 trucks, 10 trucks. We put it out to the market and we do a procurement exercise. There are a number of different businesses there that would very happily deliver us 10 trucks. I can't actually see that being an issue. It's just a normal procurement exercise. It's just slightly more than we might normally put out, but we typically get 4 vehicles every year, and that's in the capital plan over the next 4 years to get 4 new vehicles. Someone else made the point about concern that this is constantly buying vehicles. The fact is, if we buy 2 vehicles for Newry and 2 vehicles for Benfield, which we do most years, that replaces the 2 oldest vehicles, which might be 10 or 11 years old, but the 9-year-old vehicle now becomes a 10-year-old vehicle. So we're in a cycle that our fleet is just not getting any younger and won't do unless we do something radical. Because the vehicle that was 6 years old today, by the time it's going to be replaced, the other 6 year old is 12-year-old. We'll never get anywhere unless we do something fairly radical in terms of upgrading the fleet. You created the chassis, that's quite an interesting point. It's conceivable that the vehicles we bought over the last 2 to 3 years, we could look at the chassis and see that they'd be rebuilt and pause out of them. I suspect that they'd be horrendously expensive, but we can certainly have a look at it and we can check that out and price that against the cost of pricing, brand new vehicles. That might be well worth looking at. The 377,000, that's to procure and buy those and then to also deliver them. There's a very significant cost in literally just delivering those things out to people, as we experienced very recently with the brown bins. And it's about 70,000 households. So we demand at least 70,000 of those, and ultimately they break and they get damaged and so on. So we probably demand 80,000, we'd be delivering 70,000. So we've done our sums around that, and I'd be reasonably confident that 377,000 isn't a hell of a kickoff for what it actually costs us to do that. Councillor Taylor was saying that you only heard positives and didn't hear any negatives. I thought I stressed 17 million and one hell of a big negative, and it could be, bankrupt us. So there are plenty of negatives in there, but there are ways of managing them.
Well, Chair, suppose if I could just on that, especially maybe in reference to the collection service, will there be an impact on our collection services through the implementation of this money?
Sorry, did you repeat that? Sorry.
Well, could there be potentially any impact on collection services as they stand, as a consequence of pursuing this
option? Well, as they stand, no, because we have the time and moving week. But however, we do need to, and there's no doubt about it, we need to find ways of saving money. And we will therefore do a rounds optimization exercise. And again, we'll do that over the next 18 months. And I have little doubt that if, for example, we have 15 lions right now, I don't know the exact number, but there's so many legacy lions in Europe, so many legacy lions in Down, those papers are, you know, almost touching each other on the border areas between the two old councils. Mm-hmm. If we did that exercise, we could probably get around 45 lions as opposed to 15, for example. So there are big savings to be made there by doing that optimization. And what we would do is we would plan the optimization based on whatever decision comes out of how we handle blue bins, but also black bins. There's been reference recently to black bins. Our rollout of brown bins has been very significantly successful. A lot of waste has moved from the black into the brown, so the black bins aren't as full as they used to be. If we do the glass collection correctly, and we marshal the police that people don't just throw the glass into the black bins, again, the black bins will be less and less used, and we would then intend to move to a three-weekly collection as opposed to a fortnightly collection. So your black and your brown and your blue, you would still have alternate fortnights for the brown and the blue, because we want to encourage recycling, but you only have a three-weekly collection in your black. And, you know, people would not need the volume and frequency which you have now. And again, there are a number of studies that we can issue you and give you copies of that show very clearly if we don't tackle the black bin by either introducing a slim bin, like a 140 or 180, and taking the 240s away, so we force people to think about recycling, or we move to a less frequent collection, like a 3 weekly instead of a 2 weekly. Unless we do that, we will not meet our 50% recycling target, which is not a European target, that's a British target, and there's no way out of that. We have to meet our 50% recycling by 2020. So we will have to do that. And part of this grander plan that the Strategic Waste Working Group will be looking at is a number of interlinked series of projects that are all tied together. But to answer your original question, no, there will be no impact on our, we actually operationally implement option one right now without impacting the rest of it. In fact, the impact will be a positive impact because, as we've already mentioned, the black bins, the brown bins, would all be lifted by much newer vehicles. So it would be a very positive impact. There was one other question there about legislation being European legislation. You have heard the Prime Minister talking about the Great Britain Act, and therefore all that European legislation is going to become UK legislation. So, you know, we will not be able to hide behind the thing that was European, it's not going to bother us, it could be gone in a couple of years. And based on the fact that all that European legislation is fundamentally about environmental protection, even if they said, hell, this will create our own, it's not going to be a big kick away from what we're doing right now.
Okay, so Patrick, I think you have a follow-up.
I think we should have a recorded vote on this.
There has been a proposal before by Councillor Stokes for an independent consultant to seek an economic appraisal of us. Four options. The three options that have been noted on the paper, but the fourth that has not been noted on the paper. It's been seconded by Councillor Fitzpatrick and it's been asked for a recorded vote. So.
Okay, so I call it your name. Can you say that you are for or against the proposal as stands? Councillor Andrews? Councillor Burns?
Just call. I'm here.
Councillor Casey?
Yes.
Councillor Clark?
Yes.
Councillor Craig? Gone. Not here. Councillor Kern?
For.
Councillor Fitzpatrick?
For.
Councillor Hart?
Yes.
Councillor Kimmins? Councillor McCauley?
Yes.
Councillor Gowan?
Yes.
Councillor Stokes?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tinley?
Four.
And Councillor Traynor?
Four.
I wasn't writing the numbers
tonight. Four, 8 against 6 and no abstentions, so then carried.
The proposal has been carried then that we have an independent consultant to seek an economic appraisal. Four options, that being three options on the paper, and one option that has not been on the paper.
Right,
Helen,
did you
get any calls from
that
people?
I don't know what the cost would be.
The charge for agreement that I'm main manager of Nicola, the consultants of which you have all covered, attorney has been handled.
Councillor, the proposal has been moved. It has been voted through. That will now be carried out by the directors. Well, I'm going to go to council first, sorry. The next number of items have been noted. However, we have item number 14, which is a report regarding the plan, the environmental impact assessment regulations for Northern Ireland 2017. And anyone has any questions regarding it, Anthony is available. You can take any questions on that item. Is everyone happy with item number 14? If all are happy for that, it has been noted. And we move on to item number 15, which is the historic action sheet. And if anyone has any issues with the historic action sheet,
no.
Again,
it's on.
Just in regards to the opening of the Rosen Palace and recap of it, an audit that I requested to be carried out by this department. And now that was in the considerable time ago, in the 20th of April 2016, that request was made. And we're now in June. Just maybe an update for all that.
At this point, we haven't moved on, we haven't had a lot to do it. And it's actually not in our business plan to do it, but we will find the resource online and do that audit. It's actually linked in with the broader tourism services and how we would want to facilitate public toilets across the district. So, you know, it's something that, well, we can do some sort of audit as to how often they're used, which in itself is quite expensive because we understand people who say toilets and what's going on there. But, you know, I don't know how else we get the numbers and such. And then, based on that, we would then offer that data up to the tourism department to see if there is a broader project we want to enter into to review the actual supply and toilets from the district.
But Chair, it's about the quality of the toilets in our major tourist, one of our major tourist resorts. It's also about the opening of the toilets, the cleansing of the toilets. And for this to be sitting here for over a year, it's a disgrace.
I think, Alice, can we give an idea of the time scale for when this can be completed? Because as Councillor Carr has pointed out, it has been sitting on the historic action sheet for quite a while now.
Sure, it's probably get some good clarity because the problem with the quality of the toilets, the buildings, I mean, because only in the telecentres, and you know, they are very, very poor quality. So it's been there some of the reasons, you know, there are new toilets to be created in many certain 12.5 years I've been there. So, you know, the quality is without question very low. That's just the case. The cleansing is regularly carried out, but public toilets, particularly with poor quality, are very difficult to keep clean. And we've got somebody cleaning them 10 times a day, or somebody doing them flashes them, you know, 10 minutes later, and the next person comes in. Right? So, again, you know, the cleansing is a difficult issue, but I'm not actually sure what it is you would want us to come back to you with.
Right, that's an update issue, actually, at the start, over a year ago, quite long ago, when we discussed it at this committee. The issue was about, it was in Easter, when the towers, the majority of the blocks and towers in Newcastle were shut, for one reason or another, either we were painting them, or there was a bush pipe. But the toilets were closed. That was one of the main issues. It didn't happen this season. As reports again that the toilets were closed in the middle of one of our peak tourism weeks. The other point was about the times of open toilets, but the toilets were busy. Maybe some officers, maybe they take a walk in the toilets, they were with their family, and take a look at them and what they look like. And because they were discussing. And again, that's a very, very serious what they're, and the residents as well, the people that live in the town, that's what the first thing they see. So that's what we discussed the last time. We also looked at options to be brought back in regards to maybe looking at selling a new build and maybe then look at closing some other habits in Newcastle. These were what was meant to come back. Right, there was a lot of clarity in what was required.
And just sit there and sit over here and not even start. Feel like it's not acceptable. I don't know what's happened like this when you're
Thank you, sir. Similar issue to Councillor Clark, there's more issues with the toilets and the swimming pool last night, but there's more issues with the old leak of the blue set on the issue of the stop to do with computers. So can anybody enlighten me as to what the issue is? Can we get a guarantee that that those toilets will be up and running continuously if there is problems with the problems in the sewer?
I may be wrong, Chair, but I think the issue with the worm point toilets was an issue with the locking mechanism, and it took a wee bit of time to source the piece of equipment that was required to carry out the repair. That's my understanding of why they were closed during that time.
It's
not a
storage job,
so
isn't
it? I believe it is, Chair, yes.
I think the most charities support the call that number. I think that maybe another Councillor Clark raised the NECAP Action Aid and support it also. And the table having something can be done to make sure that reputations of this take over the way it goes. But it did tend to appreciate the efforts that staff make to do the best. So I appreciate having everyone's thoughts.
Just to say that if there's an example, hopefully there's no case for this, there's a case for it. There's a problem with toilets, you know, if you can read an email or even if it's posted on social media or something, so that people know, you know, that we're taking a lead on the problem and telling us. But, you know, and that might be where, you know, we can advise people that they're not working, etc., so we can be ahead of them.
Possible.
I know sometimes can
actually,
you know, you might know when something goes.
Sure. Is it suggesting that once we realise that there's a problem with a public toilet that we'd put on the council's Facebook, or is that what they?
Something like that. Yeah, to
apologise and give an update.
Tell them about something that's still in the public toilet.
We can take that on board, Chair.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell them the business and everything.
Councillors, is everyone happy with the strike action system and any actions then they can be followed up with? The next item is restricted to part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act.
So
the decision has been that there's been a proposal then to enter a working group starting from August to further the issues. And that's been proposed by Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Kelly.
And the membership of it,
will that be going there to the party that's forum to see if they're not the membership of the day? Thank you very much. Are you ready?
Just a lot of the down at the Victoria Lock. Someone's been contacting me to say they're currently out of operation and have been for a number of days. And there's two boats actually that are technically trapped in our basin that are living out. Can't get out, so just maybe my office is probably looking at the report back to me in the next couple of days.
Yes. It's a problem with the control panel. Now, our thoughts perhaps it was an issue with the power surge. We've asked NIE to investigate that, and they've come back and said no. Now, if they were saying it was a power surge for them, then they would be responsible for the works that have to be done. We've had a quotation for the repairs, and it's a significant cost. It's somewhere going to be between £8,000 and £10,000 to replace the control panel. But we've spoken to our purchasing section today, and we will hopefully be able to agree a final price with the contractor, a bespoke piece of equipment, and we will be hopefully placing the purchase order for them very shortly. But it may take a week or two before the works are able to be complete. Now we're aware that there's a boat that is looking to get out, and we'll keep that person informed of the progress and when they're likely to be fixed. If emergencies happen, we'll also see if there's a possibility that some temporary arrangement can be made to let the boat out if there's going to be a delay in the fixing of this problem.
I'm surprised you let the meeting conclude to a resolution challenge all the rest.
Well, I think that I've listened to the best through my work with the works, and I think those DMIs can do it again for you if you like.
No, I just want to say through the sort of challenge that I've only known you for a short time, I've always found you to be a very firm and respectful council officer. I've brought plenty of issues to your desk. You have never once shied away or shirked your responsibility in relation to those issues, and I'm very grateful for all you've done, and the best of luck in your new life.
Do you have the same
one as those 2 years ago? Is that what you're going to do? Okay, so you're
going to make
it to the end of the 3 years, you want to come
along? Councilor Barnes? We're not going to take the brand in.